Welcome. On these Sunday nights, we are looking at this, I believe, and going through that creedal statement. And we come tonight to the Holy Spirit, this I believe. Now, those of you that are guests, and there are several that are here tonight, we're turning this service upside down, if you will, okay? That was at my request. If I make requests, I just told them what to do, but that's... We were talking in our planning stage and things just didn't fit. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, dude, let's just let me go first for a change. And we'll begin in our teaching time and then we'll segue into worship time with music. Now, all that we do anytime we gather is worship. The preaching of the Word of God is worship, all right? You get to heaven, you're going to hear a lot of the Word of God if you get to heaven. If you're not, you're not going to hear much of the Word of God, all right? There's a lot of crying and screaming where you're headed, but... if you know the Lord, then there's going to be a lot of the Word of God, and all of that is a part of worship. So tonight we come to look at this, I believe, regarding the Holy Spirit as we're working our way through these four Sunday evenings of apologetics. So take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 11, Romans 8. 1 through 11. While you're doing that, in a little while we'll greet one another, but we've got one group from Australia I've met here tonight, some new friends that are here, and so we welcome them. Glad they're here. And then Miss Audrey Russo, I lost you. Where is Miss Russo? Where is she? Right here she is. Would you stand, ma'am? And this is Audrey Russo, and many of you that have been here a long time, you know her. I followed Dr. Passmore, and he followed Brother Jeff Russo, who is our pastor, and this is his sweet wife, and Russo Hall is named after them. And so she just drove in with some friends from Dallas today and is here. Miss Audrey, it's always good to see you. We love you. Why don't you give her a good hand? Let her know you're glad to have her at Olive tonight. Amen. Amen. Always good to see my good friend, Miss Audrey Russo, and have her here on this Sunday evening. Well, in Romans 8, we begin in verse 1 tonight and read these first 11 verses, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, I have that underlined in my Bible, in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Paul says two things through these 11 verses, it seems, that you hear this, the mindset on the flesh, the mindset on the Spirit, the mindset on the flesh, the mindset on the Spirit. He says that three different times. Where is your mind tonight? Are you set, are you walking by fleshly things or Spirit things? You're doing one of those. And then he talks about the Spirit of the flesh or the Spirit of Christ that raised God from the dead, and one of those dwells in you. So who possesses you tonight? The Spirit of the flesh or the person of the Holy Spirit? You remember many months ago when that Carnival cruise line ran out of motor and propulsion and it was just adrift? drift on the sea, you remember? And it was just going wherever that the ocean would take that cruise vessel. I'm fearful that many people who are in religious circles are just like that. They have no inward propulsion. There is nothing that moves them and drives them from the inner man. It is all on the outward, and they're just kind of adrift, going the ways of whatever takes them wherever they are going. We find that in Scripture in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. When Ezekiel comes, and the Bible says he looked out into a valley, and there were many bones, and the bones were dry. They didn't move. He said Israel was like a valley of dry bones, dead. People that had died, and all that was left was the bones, all the flesh was gone. Just the skeletal remains were there. And he said, some of you are like that. And then Ezekiel prophesied to the wind for it to come, the ruach of God, the breath of God. Come, breath of God, and come in to these bones. He put them together, bone upon bone, muscle upon muscle, sinew upon sinew. And then he asked for the breath of God to come. Ezekiel says there was a shaking as those bones came together. There was a rattling, and there was life given. Dear friend, if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life as a religious person, you'll turn a couple of three ways. Some people turn to rationalism, no inspiration, just a high critical thought. But if you don't turn to rationalism, you'll turn to ritualism. You'll substitute things for the glory of God, and you'll come and you'll do things in church. It reminds me of an old story that I'd heard years ago, but this really happened to me. I'd heard it, but then it happened. We had taken a group, we were traveling, and we had been to Israel, and then we came back through Rome, and while in Rome, we were visiting these huge cathedrals, and as we came into the cathedrals, there were gold and candles and altars, and they tell you to be quiet, and someplace you have to take your shoes off. And we had one old country boy with us from Alabama, and the guide asked, are there any questions? And he raised his hand, and he said, yes, sir. How old is this church? And he said, well, it's built like in 1600 and somebody. And the old boy, he just said out loud, embarrassed me a little bit, but I thought, well, it's probably a pretty good question. He said, when's the last time anybody's been saved in here? And I thought, you're not supposed to ask that kind of stuff. But, you know, it happens. I mean, you can just get into this ritual, and God's not there. It's like you're just adrift on the sea. Like a carnival cruise line without spirit propulsion. Well, Paul says the Spirit of the living God lives in us if we are Christ followers. Well, what happens when the Spirit of God is with us? Well, there are four things I want to show you tonight, and you got a listening chart when you came in, so you may want to jot these things down as we look together, and that'll be helpful. Let's look at these four moves and works of the Spirit. First of all, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit empowers us. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 gives us in the Word of God, he says that you shall receive, what's that word? Power. That's the word dunamis, our word for dynamite. You shall receive power and explosiveness when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. If you're going to have power to live the Christian life, you are surrendered to Christ and the Holy Spirit lives within you. Jesus shows us that in Luke chapter 4 when he enters into that time of temptation. In Luke 4 and verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. In verse 2, it says he was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness where temptation comes. And in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, it says, and he returned by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not an it's a person. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And just as you pray out, our Father, Lord Jesus, save me. It's all right to talk to the Holy Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, come and empower me. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Send me where I need to go. Lead me where I need to be. Stop me from where I don't need to go. Lead me. Send me out. Bring me back. The Spirit of God empowers you. He moves you. He marshals you. It was odd to me yesterday. While I was at the ball game, the guy was leaving in front of me, turned around, shook my hand, and says, good to meet you guys. And I said, you sit here all the time. And he said, well, no, I'm from Texas. And he had an accent. I said, you're really not from Texas. And he told me where he was from, but he lived in Houston. And I just sensed in my spirit, I just need to speak. And I said, well, I'm a gospel preacher. And his eyes just lit up. And he said, well, glory to God. Now, you don't get that every day. Not where I was. And I reached in, pulled out a True Life card, and I said, this may help you in your walk and just some things that we do. And so I gave him that card, and he quickly said, well, that's good. That'll encourage me. And he said, I'll pass on the website to my mom and dad because they're missionaries in Switzerland. I said, well, somebody's got to do that. And then he said, yeah, it's a beautiful place. And then he said these words, it is a very hard place. Switzerland is a very hard place for the gospel's sake. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. Pray for your parents that God might, and I use that word, empower them for the gospel in a hard place. Some of you are going to hard places tonight and in the morning, and I'm praying that the Spirit of God would empower you for the gospel in a hard place even tomorrow. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Number two, we find that the Holy Spirit purifies us. He purifies us. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, we hear the Word of God, and it says this to us. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus is speaking here. For if I do not go away, that is after he dies and he's ascending back to the Father, the Helper, there's an interesting word right there, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, there's the person, to you. And when he, the person, comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus said it's important that I go away so that he can come. He who? He, the helper. That is the word paraclete there, parakletos. Is the word kletos called para alongside of. He is called alongside of us. He is here with us. He aids us. He helps us. And what does he do? Well, this text tells us he convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Therefore, he's purifying us. He is making us like to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, when he lists all of those sins in verses 9 and 10, he said this and 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 this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You, not just in Corinth, in Pensacola. All of these sins, he enumerates them, and he said, and such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified in the name of Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Amen. That's what happens when you get saved. That old lifestyle goes away and you are purified. You are made new. See, when you get saved, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit comes in and the fire of God burns out the dross and purifies your life. Now, in my own life, I got saved and I was 10 years old, but I wasn't discipled very quickly, and so at 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, sports discipled me more than anything. And with that came one bad habit in my life. I wasn't a drinker, I wasn't a smoker. I wouldn't do that because it would be bad for your athletics, make you short of breath. Alcohol was not good. When I was playing, alcohol cost you games. Now it doesn't seem to cost you much of nothing. I found it odd the other day when the Ray Rice story broke about the guy that with spousal abuse and battered his wife and knocked her out, and now he can't play in the NFL. that several companies came out against that. One of them was Anheuser-Busch. I scratched my head. I said, you reckon that being drunk had anything to do with that girl getting knocked out in that? I mean, is that not the proverbial kettle calling the pot? Oh, man, come on, give me a break. That wasn't a part. But I tell you what was part of my life. Language that was not good was part of my life. My tongue was. Matter of fact, the Bible says the tongue is a small member of the body, but when it's hot, it's set on fire with the fire of hell itself. So I could curse and I could make up words. Some of you have been there. And when God had to deal with me as a 17-year-old boy, as a Christian, when the Holy Spirit of God began, and I understood the fullness of the power of God, the first thing he had to do was get my attention, and I had to die to myself, and then my language had to be made over again. And I'm here to tell you the Spirit of the living God can give you power, not only to empower you, but purify you so that you don't act like you used to act and you don't talk like you used to talk. He cleanses us because he washes. I don't know what your habit is, but I'm telling you, Jesus is powerful enough through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only does he empower you, but he purifies you and he can set you free. Amen? He can do it. Number three, the Holy Spirit guides us. He guides us. In John 14, verse 16, verse 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, 7, and 3. Look at these verses that come up on the screen. First of all, in John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's the Parakletos. Jesus has been here helping us, but then the Holy Spirit's coming, that he may be with you forever. Then verse 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all that I have said. So you will remember. And then in chapter 15, in verse 26, when the helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He's going to tell you about Christ. And then in chapter 16, verses 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he'll not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. You see, friend, when the Spirit of God is in you, he guides you. He tells you, marry her. Don't marry him. And you best be listening to that. Date him. Run from her. Take that job. Stay away from there. Move to Olive Baptist Church. That's the way it is, isn't it, John? The Spirit's all, it's the only reason you do what you do. It's the Spirit of God that says, yes or no. I love that verse in Isaiah where he says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The Spirit of God will guide you. In Acts, you find in Acts 15, 28, that the disciples, just a few verses here, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit for us to do this. In Acts 16, Paul said, I want to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't go over there. Don't go to Bithynia. In Acts 20, verses 22 and 23, Paul said, I was bound in the Holy Spirit, and I had to go. When he was headed to Macedonia, then back to Jerusalem. And in Acts 13, 2, the Spirit said to the apostles, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Who ought to pick our staff members? The Holy Ghost of God ought to pick. them. Who ought to pick our deacons? The Spirit of the living God ought to pick our leaders. The Spirit of God should speak into our soul. Some of you working in new areas in our church, you need helpers. Friend, I'm telling you, you need to pray for God to say to you, go ask these people. So, well, preacher, sometimes I pray and God says, go ask, and they say no. Well, they can be obedient, disobedient. It may be God's test in your life. You need to pray through and find exactly what God's saying to you and then walk in it and leave the consequences unto the Father. You be found obedient. He will guide you, and it will be good when he guides you. I'm glad Ms. Russo's here tonight, because it always makes me think of things. When she's here, and I go back to those days when I came to be your pastor, and somebody was asking me this week while we were down at Lake Yale and talking to all the Baptist brothers. I had two this last week. I have young preachers want to come talk to me. When I came here almost 24 years ago, I wanted to go talk to old preachers. And now I stay in my office and young preachers come talk to me. And they all ask the same questions. Everybody, same thing. But they're just young and they don't know. And I think they ought to know. But they don't, because they're just as dumb as I was. And so they began to, that's good. You need to ask for wisdom and ask people that hopefully are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And so they asked me all those questions. And while I was there, I had a young preacher come up and sit next to me. And he said this to me. He said, I notice that in this meeting that sometimes people ask for your opinion. I said, well, I have one. And he said, yeah, but everybody's got one, but some people ask for yours. I said, well, I've been here a little while. And I know Dr. Sullivan, and he trusts me. And he said, How do you get to the place where they want to know what your opinion is? Not that you just have one. I said, well, number one, when you have an opinion and you're young, learn to sit still and keep your mouth shut. Learn for a little while what's going on. And I said, then when the Spirit of God speaks to you, no matter where you are, speak a good word, not in condemnation, but that it just seems good to you that the Spirit of God would lead us in this way. Kind of be kind and gentle. Don't be arrogant. I hate these super spiritual pious people. Well, you know, God said. I've had people come in my office and say, God said we ought to do this. And the only way I can answer that when I disagree is say, God didn't tell me, and I'm the pastor, and you're wrong because God hadn't told me what you said he's told you. That's the only way I know to answer that, because they want to play the Holy Ghost ace. Well, the only ace I got is the other. There's four of them in a day. See, don't come with that super spiritual pious. There's a time to speak and say, I appeal that the Spirit of God has said this. But I'm telling you, God will guide you, and when he guides you, he always will guide you with truth and humility. Every time. That kind of humble spirit will come, and there's great power when the truth is spoken with humility. He guides you, and he'll show you where to go. And then number four, not only do we see him guiding, but then number four, the Holy Spirit unifies. He unifies. Amen. He brings us together. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14, the last verse, this is the very last verse of 2 Corinthians. Look at it right here in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. Oh, there it is. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a great verse. That'd be another one you ought to memorize. The grace of Christ, the love of God, and the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you what? All. Oh, we are one together in the Lord. We find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen to Philippians 2, 1 and 2, where the Word of God tells us these words. Therefore, if there is any encouragement, Christ, any consolation in love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Olive family, hear the pastor. This old church has been getting her done for 120 years. God's blessed us. You have to fight for the unity of the body. Now, I want you to notice those verses. Paul said, make my joy complete, have the same mind, and maintain the same love. That doesn't mean you always agree, but you have to maintain, you have to work at that. You have to unite in spirit. You have to be intentional on the purpose and come together. Not your will or my will and that little group, but the will of God to be done. And we guard the unity for the good of the going glory of the body of Christ. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He makes us one in the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We give you four things about the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you respond to the Holy Spirit? You will respond in one of six ways. I just want to give you these words, and then we're going to pray. Number one, you can resist the Holy Spirit. In Acts 7:51, they resisted. You can just simply say no. You can resist the Holy Spirit. Number two, in Ephesians 4:30, the Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the person. You ever grieve your mother? Well, I've grieved my mama a few times. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says number three, you can quench the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. Every time we ordain deacons, we're getting ready to select deacons, and just encourage all of you that you take these sheets, and again, those names that are listed on there, you don't write their name down, but on the other side, people you think make a good deacon, you put their name on there. And when it comes time to select them, then ordain them, I tell every group of deacons we ever have that everybody that's a deacon got two buckets. You got a bucket in his hand, a bucket in his hand. You got a bucket. You got a bucket of water and a bucket of gas. Bucket of water and a bucket of gas. You find fire in the church that it's bad fire, and you start pouring gas on that, you're not a good deacon. You find troubled fire, you pour water on that to put it out. But now the other side of that is this. When you find the blaze of the Spirit of God, don't pour water on that. Pour gas on that. See, some people don't want to let God work. They want to come to the place where they quench the Holy Spirit and they find God at work and say, "Whoa, we can't let that happen." Don't be on the cold water committee. Don't find one of these young 18, 20-year-old firebrands going hot for God and bring him on and say, "Well, you know, you just need to cool off a little bit and settle down." Man, pour gas on that. Yes, sir. Don't batter him and bruise him up and pour water on him. He'll find enough of that. He ought to find encouragement at the Church of the Living God. You can resist him. You can grieve him. You can quench him. Acts 5:3 says you can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. And lastly, in Acts 5:9, it says you can tempt the Holy Spirit. But what we ought to do is number six, we ought to yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, not my will, yours be. Lord, I yield to your power. I yield to your guidance. I don't resist. I don't grieve. I don't quench. I don't lie to you. I don't tempt you. I yield unto you. Down on Pensacola Beach, there's a statue that is relatively new. Next time you're down there, and it is almost a good time to go to the beach in Pensacola. Just a few more days, and it'll be cool enough for people like me to go. When you can go wear shorts and a sweatshirt, it's time to go to the beach. Amen. That's my kind of beach weather. And when you go down on the beach, you'll find a relatively new statue, and there's a man there, and he's kind of muscular, and he's got long flowing hair, and he's got a surfboard under his arm. His name is Yancey Spencer. Yancey was a godless, devilish, worldly man, and God radically saved him. And for the last many years, the beach has been his parish. And he's done ministry on that beach. He's led many people to faith in Christ. running a surf shop. And just 2 years ago, his widow spoke to our widow's group here at our widow's banquet. Almost 300 widows in this church. And many of them come together. She came and shared her heart and told her story. I read the article when they put Yancey's surfboard under his arm. He's standing there, and she said, I wish we could have had the scripture on it. But she said, you know, our culture today, they wouldn't, of course, allow that. I said, well, no, they probably wouldn't. I said, now, they can put a pagan statue at the corner of Garden and Palafox, but they wouldn't dare let you put a scripture verse that your husband stood for. But you take what you can get, and though he is dead, yet he speaks. And I'm telling you, he lived his life in yieldedness to the Holy Spirit of God. He wasn't even a Baptist. Amen. But he is a brother. He is a brother in the Lord. What does old Vance Havner used to say? Don't worry about your tags. They're important here, but when you go down to hell, they burn off, and when you go up to heaven, they fall off. Because we're just either lost or saved. Yeah. Amen. Thank God for Yancey Spencer, who did not resist or grieve or quench or lie or tempt the Holy Spirit, though he may have struggled with those things in his life. His testimony was that he was yielded to the Holy Spirit. I want to show you a video tonight of a man that has recently yielded to the Holy Spirit. Came kind of late in his life, but God's done a good work and a fresh thing. And I want you to hear this testimony tonight, and after that testimony, then they're going to come and lead us as we sing. Somebody said to me tonight, said, Pastor, after you teach, everybody will just be in such a habit, they're just going to walk out. I said, oh, no, they won't do that tonight, because I've locked the doors and they can't get out, all right? So we've just turned this service upside down, and you can't leave yet because we haven't even had an offering yet, okay? But don't worry, I won't forget it, and we'll get that done. But the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn your eyes to this video and just listen to what God has done in the life of one of our fine men.